Potters! Welcome to episode 195 of Cosplay Hell, where we're going to show you weird videos to awesome music. Wait, wrong thing. Sorry, that's Anime Hell. Hi, welcome to Cosplay Podcast for all things cosplay.
Amber is going to mess up my year in review so hard this time.
I have to do it now that you've told me that every time you edit it, it's like episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, episode 4.
But it's so engaging.
No, I have to do it. I have to do it oddly. Just once.
It's engaging and hypnotic, so it's great.
Oh, jeez. This is not like reading the phone book.
Hey, guys, look at our new, cool, awesome overlay and schnazziness. Isn't this great looking? You get both of us on the screen at the same time. It's like episode 1 all over again.
But better content.
Way better. More highly produced.
Yes, you have 8 years of experience behind this now that you are watching on your computer and or TV and or mobile gadget device screen.
Huzzah!
So this is our new recording setup. You guys may or may not have noticed that YouTube and Google are changing things. And they changed things right in the middle of our podcasting schedule. So we just kind of had to MacGyver things together. And here we are. We're back.
Sooner than later, but that's okay. I didn't want to get this started until next season, so it was a nice fresh face, and YouTube was like, nope, you gotta change now. Thanks, YouTube.
But you guys can still chat with us while we are recording this live, and so of course we invite you guys to please provide your opinions and commentary as we are recording this episode, and of course, if you are watching the recording, you can always do so in our social media at any time. We always welcome your feedback.
All the links and stuff are down there. It's great.
Yes, so this is episode 195. Wow, we are almost at episode 200.
I know, we're steadily getting closer. It's Halloween weekend. It's not that far away.
Hallelujah.
It's not that far away.
I punny.
You are such a punny person. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that.
On that note, let's do some cosplay updates.
Okay, let's do the thing.
You've got stuff in the background.
I do have stuff in the background. We're already being way too loopy, and we've only been recording
for
all 3 minutes.
Cheers.
Cheers to all. So yeah, look at the thing that I have been working on. Yay! If you've been following my Instagram, I kind of made this over the course of a weekend with a bunch of spare fabric that I had. Woohoo! Go me! Since I decided that my Sleeping Beauty alternate outfit wasn't going to work for my upcoming vacation, I was like, what else can I make? I have a bunch of spare fabric. Oh, I know, let me just make Snow White's peasant outfit because I have all the stuff for it. So that's exactly what I did. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. It's got a nice zipper back. I didn't think about this until very, very recently, but I got a very full circle skirt with all the trimmings on it. And oh my goodness, I twirl in this. It is amazing and adorable, and I love it. I still have to tear up the bottom, which I will cry a little bit when that happens. But it made me realize, oh wait, it's a full circle skirt. I could put pockets in this. Why didn't I put pockets in this? So I'm going to go and put pockets in this as well, so I can be a very practical Disney bounder. And then other than that, I just have to make the ribbon for her hair, and it's done. It's probably one of the easiest things that I've made in a very, very long time. And I even lined it. The thing is lined. Nice and comfy. It's cottons, and I think portions of the bottom of the dress are linen. So yeah, just a fun, simple little project for me. It'll be great. That's it, pretty much. Other than that, that's really all I've been working on.
Woohoo! I have had a lot of downtime in the last 2 weeks because of enforced convalescence. Yeah. You know, relaxing is all fine and good until you're forced to do it longer.
Right? After a period of time.
A method where you don't really want to be doing it. So, I will stand up for a moment because all of my stuff is piled everywhere. All right. Gotta keep to tradition. What do I have?
A pile of fabric. Ayo.
A pile of fabric. Yes, I have a pile of fabric, which I will explain in a moment. But you guys have already seen, I'm working on bracelets.
Bangles!
Choker, yes. Unfortunately, it has been literally too hot to spray paint outside because it has been 104 degrees, and there actually is a point at which spray paint will not set properly, and 104, I believe, is past that point. So these are not spray painted yet, unfortunately, and that is why. Because Texas, it hates me.
Well, so, Texas hates all of us.
I put together this thing, which is not fabric. This is actually fun foam, and it is painted gold. And it is the startings of a corset. Yes, this is in fact a golden corset. This should be another hint as to what I'm working on. And unfortunately, due to the hospital visit that I had 2 weeks ago, which is why I was not here, sorry, I am having to cut back on my spending very, very much until I have that bill paid off. And so instead of going out and buying boning, I actually used paper joint tape, which I have had from previous home repairs. Yes, I have done my own home repairs. Thank you very much. I know how to fix drywall. So I use this stuff, which is actually incredibly strong. It is used to hold joints together. There is a reason for this stuff. Don't put it in water because it will probably disintegrate. So I use that, and it is actually the boning on my corset. Yes, this stuff is actually strong. It is actually quite stiff when you put hot glue on it. So you can see the foam is actually completely shaped. It is not flat. It actually has been holding its shape. This is going to be the inside lining for this, for my pile of fabric, because this is going to be the other portion of the corset. And of course, you have probably seen this lovely pattern before. Yes. I actually found the leftover Rava fabric, the really nice satin. I'm going to use that for my corset because I didn't want to go out and purchase more fabric because heaven knows I have enough and I have a giant hospital bill coming. So I cut out all the pieces, including lining for the corset, out of the lovely leftover satin and silk that we had from our Legend of Korra costumes. Yes, and if that wasn't enough, if you still don't know what I'm working on, this should tell you exactly what I'm working on.
If you're probably over the age of 30, that would make a lot of sense to anime fans.
Yes. And actually, this is the old one that I had that I'm going to have to redo, but this is my template for the new one so that I know what it's supposed to look like. Because let me tell you, finding pictures of this particular version of this thing on the internet is really hard. Whenever you're trying to find art book versions of stuff, there are not very many high resolution images that you can work from that are zoomed in enough where you can see details enough to like put them on cosplay without having to kind of guess at what they're supposed to look like. So I had to go dig up what I could of these images, but no, thankfully I kept my old pieces so that I can use them as templates. So that's what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks when I can sit up.
But it is progress. Progress is progress.
It is progress. The only thing I haven't been able to work on is the dress, and that is mostly because I can't buy new fabric yet. So I may just have to make do with the old version of the dress until I can remedy that. And I'll find out how the jacquard paint actually works on the satin. I did a test run on both the satin and the silk, and it seems to work beautifully with one coat.
Jacquard paint's pretty awesome like that.
I didn't see any brush marks. It is opaque because I don't want you to be able to see through it, although that is why I painted the inside of this gold, is just in case you can see through it. So yeah, getting there. Lots and lots of prop making progress. It feels good to get back into prop making again. I equally enjoy prop making about as much as I do sewing. The only thing I don't like is makeup.
Makeup is a challenge. Like, I still don't understand it.
I'm just not good at it.
It takes a ton of practice. Like, no one is magical at it. It takes so much practice. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, Alan. Yes. It wasn't intended to be clever. It was just kind of intended to be using up the supplies that I have.
Which will actually comes in handy.
We'll be talking about it later in the episode when we talk about innovation in cosplay. All right. So that is the end of our cosplay updates. Now we are moving on to the main part of the show. Da 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 da.
I like that you make your own sound effects.
Well, yeah, we don't have the sound effects panel anymore.
Someone's had it for like 3 years.
Hey, if somebody wants to help us make a soundboard, you're more than welcome to.
I can set it up really easily with my function keys. I just don't have the time to do it, so.
But we do want to talk about the big, massive World Cosplay event that just happened. World Cosplay Summit 2019.
It was very, very busy. A lot more stuff was going on this year, but there's a lot of things I appreciate with what they did was for both the Tokyo event and then the first round of the Nagoya event, they broadcasted it on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube and watch almost all of the skits except for the 8 people that got advanced to the finals almost instantly. You can watch almost all the skits right there as many times as you want to. You don't have to register. You don't need a Nico Nico account. You didn't need to do the time shift and all that fun weirdness. You can just go to YouTube and watch, and it's great.
And it's in one chunk. It's not like a playlist where you have to go through and play each of them. It's just one long chunk. And hilariously, if you watch the Nagoya ones, they actually show the commercials that were playing on the screen in between breaks, in between the blocks. They had like 5 minutes or so of very anime-ish commercials that were great.
Oh, yeah. And the first time I sat through the commercials and I was like, what is going on? After that, I just started skipping it.
Now, these are the commercials on the backdrop of the screen. They're not like YouTube ads. It's not, you don't have to worry about that part. It's actually like part of the recording.
And it's cool. They also showed a lot of other stuff they had going on during that week too, because they had like a One Piece cosplay event. They had a lot of sponsorship stuff. So they just had a lot of fun little things going on too. And it was just nice to see that they were more open to broadcasting all of that versus just keeping it sequestered and being like, oh no, you get to see this one tiny little snippet and you have to be up at 2 a.m. and hopefully you can catch it. Otherwise, too bad.
They've been adding events to this competition, and it also helps for those entries that don't necessarily make it to subsequent rounds. They have something they can watch too.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice for them to get a chance to look back and say, we were there, we did this thing. How cool is that?
And I did watch all of the first round, or the preliminary round. I watched all the skits.
Mm-hmm. I did too. It was a lot of fun stuff. It was different than what I expected this year. It was a lot of talking skits. Talking and fighting.
This was World Fate Summit.
There was a lot of fate.
It really was. There was a lot of fate.
So much fate.
Everywhere. It was fate. It was one of them. Granted, they were different.
Yes, they were all different.
But it was all the same series. It would be like if you had all Sailor Moon, even though there's different iterations.
It's all Sailor Moon. Yeah.
Which, there was a Sailor Moon entry this year.
And they did a lovely job.
Yes.
Everybody did a great job, because it was just like, man, usually you sit there and you go like, okay, well, you know, what's the difference? What's going to be working here? What's not going to work this year? It was really hard to figure out who was going to win or who was even going to place, because there was so much cool stuff that they brought to the stage. Cool practical effects. I love just even the simple little things. Like, I can't remember which country this was, but they did a Black Butler skit with the Dark Circus.
The circus.
Yeah, and they had magic tricks. Very simple, very straightforward stuff, but it was nice to have some of those optical illusions that were implemented. It was cool.
Yes. I really appreciated the effects that they used in the background, because they effectively had a giant projector screen this year, so that instead of you having to do all of the set changes yourself, where you basically ended up having, you know, a PVC pipe with a sheet across it effectively that you had to spin around to change the scene, now you can just project it on a screen almost like an anime series.
Yeah, and definitely you could tell a lot of countries made effective use of that.
Oh, Korea, I heart you so much. They had the cleanest coordination between the action on the floor in front and the effects on the backdrop. Everything was so in sync.
It was cool.
It made it mesh.
It was
really
cool.
And I was just sitting there going...
It was
really
neat.
It's like that emoticon with the colon and the capital D. It was so good.
But it also kind of adds that next layer that they have to do to WCS. So it's like, okay, so now we have to do the costumes. We have to make set pieces. We have to make accessories and props. Oh, now we have to do a screen thing too on top of the sound and the music. Oh, great.
Yep. And that's on top of the usual things like having to lip sync with the audio that you have to pre-record.
Mm-hmm. Always a thing. Oh, look, dog.
And I have to admit that there were less in the way of LED effects and such this year. I didn't see any quick changes in terms of costumes.
Oops, there were a couple.
And it wasn't as prevalent.
I'm trying to think, what country was it? I don't even remember what skit it was, but there was one girl who was doing a ton of them with her dress. It was just like layer after layer after layer after layer.
Not coming to mind. I may have just not remembered.
I'm going to go look it up right now.
There was less with LEDs than I expected.
Yes, that's for sure.
There was much more with the sound effects and the background type effects. I did see that pretty much the majority of the ones that did fight scenes used the confetti streamers for the blood effects.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty standard, pretty expected. But they were still really well used. And the armoring this year, so good. Oh, Singapore, I love you guys. The armoring was so solid. And so the ultimate winners, Australia, mm-hmm. had Monster Hunter armor, which was epic.
It was incredible. And I've been watching Wiro as he's been making that armor. And it's not only really clean and impressive to look at, but the fact that it's very movable. Like, he could, both of the people, they could bend, they could jump, they could do their stunts, and nothing fell off, nothing broke. Like, it was just incorporated into the armor under the expectation of this needs to have heavy stress on it, so we got to build it this way. So that's what I really, really appreciated the most about it.
Germany made scale mail.
Yeah. There was a lot of cool stuff to see. The team that I was thinking of was Team Vietnam. She had on at least 10 separate dresses at the same time.
That has to get warm after a while.
Right, given that it's Japan during the summer where it's incredibly humid, and this year has been the most humid on record for the country. So, hey, I bet that was a load of fun in that not so AC area.
Many of the contestants chose very involved costumes that had a lot of coverage, lots of armor, lots of long sleeves, long pants. I felt kind of bad for them.
Because it's a lot. It's not just, you know, you wear it for your event and then you're done, you can take it off. No, you're expected to still be wearing that before, during, and after, because afterwards they had a good 40-minute award presentation, plus, you know, the WCS team leaders were doing their thing too, and then they have to do photos afterwards, and they have to do press opportunity after. You're probably in your contest piece for a good 12 hours that day. There is no getting out of it. And I bet a lot of people were very miserable. Like, can I please just stop cosplaying for the day? I'm done.
Especially those in makeup.
Right?
The U.S. team was completely covered in makeup. Granted, they also won the Biori Award.
They won that prize. So. But even still, though, it's just like, man, I've been in face paint for more than 8 hours, and that's enough to knock you on your butt. I can't imagine doing it for 12 hours. Only have to get up the next morning and to do it all over again. That's not just love of cosplay, that's some extreme dedication.
What surprised me, and I don't remember this from last year, I may just not be remembering it, but they did interviews with a few of the teams after their skits.
Yeah, that was
new. Just clear off.
That was new this year. They only did that for the prelim round. They didn't do it during the final right. round because they wanted to kind of keep things going. Right. But yeah, I thought that was interesting too. I was like, oh, it was the mic issues though, because it was really hard to hear them at times. Oof.
Yes.
It was like, okay, the skit's over, so I got to immediately bump up my computer volume and hopefully I can hear them.
But it was neat to be able to like hear feedback from them about their preparation for the skit and their performance and what they thought about it. It wasn't an interview where they were asking like about the other teams, like how do you feel you're doing against the other teams. It was focus on that team, mm-hmm. which is actually really good sportsmanship, because it's not really about the competition. It's more about the performance.
But yeah, overall, it was a really good, it's a lot of fun to watch, and I totally recommend that people do it, especially since you can watch most of the teams on YouTube right now. Like, you don't have to worry about doing paywalls or any of that stuff. Just go watch. Enjoy.
You can watch the finals, too, on YouTube.
Are the finals on YouTube?
Yes.
On the World Cosplay Summits page?
No.
Okay.
they're not on the WCS page. You have to go look for them, but they are up there in a playlist.
They probably won't be up for very long.
So... you know, each individual one is up there. And the award ceremony in and of itself is also uploaded up there.
Might want to do it sooner rather than later, because they'll probably eventually get pulled down.
Yeah.
Because that does tend to happen. Or if you followed my instructions when we posted this on our Facebook page, the Nico Nico one is about to expire. So you probably only have a couple days left on that. So you might want to carve out some time this weekend and watch that version.
Put it on in the background. Although better for you to actually watch it.
Than
just, you know, listen to it in the background.
Don't have it as background noise. Actually invest time in it. Get a bucket of popcorn. Have a
Those
snack.
Those are worth watching.
Right? They were really, really good.
Yeah. I definitely was inspired. And let's just say that one of the ones I saw will be an upcoming cosplay.
Oh, snap.
I liked it so much. I was just like, you know what? Done.
It's a thing now?
It's a thing now.
Yay!
At least it will be in the future. I don't know how far off.
But yeah, it was really good. I appreciated it. I enjoyed it. I'm curious to see what people are going to do next year, because usually they start following the trend of, okay, so who were the top winners? We need to emulate what they did. So I bet we're going to see a lot more big, muscly, heavy, armory costumes with spikes everywhere.
To be fair, the U.S. took second place with very little in the way of armor.
There was some very fabulous dresses and garments.
It was a large amount of fabric work. Very intricate. Very
and shinies.
Yes, but also, given the team that was involved, this should not surprise anyone.
Oh no, we knew it. I think I was more surprised that it was a horror video game.
Yes.
Like, that's not a topic that's very rarely covered in skits. So I was like, okay, I appreciated the fact that they did something very different. It told a simple story, and it was very easy to replicate and capture what the intent was. That was nice.
Yes, it was very effective. And I think probably of anybody I know, they were probably the best placed team to pull that off mm-hmm. in terms of what they made.
Like, it's just incredible.
Seriously talented people.
I really wish that I could just see both of those costumes up close just so I could learn from them. That's all I want to do is learn.
We shall see.
Next WCS exhibit, maybe.
Yes, we need a traveling WCS exhibit, please.
They only usually have it at Anime Expo, which is not fair to the rest of us in the country.
Come on, guys. There's more to the United States than just the West Coast, please.
Yes, please.
Please and thank you. And speaking of World Cosplay Summit, the topic that I wanted to bring up for a short discussion today is innovation in cosplay. Basically, how are people carrying the art forward, doing things that are unexpected with cosplay? So, like when I talked about the joint compound tape, you wouldn't think of using this for something like boning. And I will pick up what I just dropped because that was not cool.
There she goes.
If you think about it, Warbla, which completely made the rounds in cosplay and everybody was making every part of their costume from it, whether or not appropriate, actually did not start off as a cosplay component. It was used to make shoes. Yeah, that's right. The thing we used to make armor, originally used for shoes.
It's pretty still good for making weird cosplay shoes, too.
It is probably very effective at still being used for shoes.
I know, I've done it.
Despite having the consistency of Fritos.
It's fine. Just use the smooth side.
But another thing it brought to mind, especially with LEDs and such, is that if you guys want some fun content to watch, a few years ago, I actually did a panel with Steve Liptak about putting LEDs in cosplay, and he talked about using kids' toys. Because you can totally take apart kids' toys, you know, once your kids have gotten their use out of them, and use the sound and the light components inside of them for your cosplay. Mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping you. People who make fursuits and the mascot suits, they use computer components to make cooling systems. You can use microfans. It's not difficult. The parts are the correct size. Everything works great. You just mount the two fans here in the ears. You just give yourself an air ventilation system out the front. That's it. And it wasn't ever intended for this use, I'm fairly certain.
That's basically what cosplay is making stuff work outside of its intended purpose, just to make it work.
Indeed. How many of you guys have walked into a Lowe's or a Home Depot or an Ace Hardware or insert hardware store of choice and just went, what's going to inspire me today? What can I use to make this? How can I achieve this? And you just go walking around looking for parts. I'm pretty sure PVC pipe was never meant to make staves, but we do it. Same thing with dowels. Pretty sure electrical tape was not meant to hold swords together, but we do it.
Or in my case, a Victorian collar.
I have actually, since I see Going Ape, actually said that they use polyethylene tubing for boning. I have actually also heard people using zip ties.
Oh, yeah.
As boning.
The industrial zip ties are fantastic substitutes.
Yep. And so I consider that innovation. You're using things not necessarily in the way they were intended to be used, but it's effective.
It's super effective. This way,
it is super effective. Please don't go looking for a Pokemon named Cosplay.
Next episode, I'll have Bulbasaur done. Oh, Costumon. There we go. I'm okay with that.
I guess it would have to use psychic type moves because
sure.
of the stress that it takes to do cosplay.
You're thinking about this way too much now.
Of course.
If somebody
else designed Cosplaymon, please feel free. It will probably become the mascot for our podcast.
Oh, lordy. Truth.
Toilet parts? Okay. I could definitely see that. I've actually seen some plumbing parts used very creatively. And now, TNT Cosplay Supply has a lot of foam tubes that they sell to kind of mimic a lot of plumbing parts now. So that you can make chains and tubing and mechanical looking parts by just texturing the foam and bending it so that you don't have to use the actual plastic stuff. Especially if you need flexibility, because heaven knows you need to be able to move in that cosplay.
Nah. Moving's overrated.
Gotta sew them all. Yes. I would say super effective, but doesn't quite fit. I'm sorry.
That hurt.
Yes, I know.
Oh, that hurt. Amber, why?
Piercing attack.
Oh. I'm using Splash. It's not very effective.
No, see, that's what you do on cosplays because it's blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
That's definitely super effective.
It does eventually work over time.
See, it's when you use motivation attack that it's not very effective.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. The Pokemonisms are going a little out of hand.
But I'm kind of curious to see, with the advent of 3D printing and such, how people are going to keep pushing cosplay forward. I've noticed that one of the big things with 3D printing now seems to be printing on fabrics. Mm-hmm. So that you're basically almost kind of welding things into the fabric. So you can make things like spikes or scales or bumps on fabric and not have to worry about gluing things onto it. Although 3D printing is kind of effectively doing that.
Yeah, kind of is.
And I know that Yaya has been trying to push out a lot of different fabrics with textures on them.
Yeah, she's supposed to have another line that's coming out through Cosplay Fabrics and Joann's pretty soon. And it's nice to see the variety that's out there now compared to what we used to have available, and the fact that you can pick it up at a local craft store versus having to hunt down online and hoping that the eBay seller doesn't try to rip you off.
That's assuming that it even exists in the first place and you don't have to sit there and try and kind of mimic it with an airbrush.
Oh gosh, I've done that plenty of times. It's been horrible every single time, which is why I was so happy to find her hexagon fabric.
Yes.
Because that would have been murder on my soul.
That one and the scaled fabric are probably the two most popular I've seen with cosplayers.
They're really
nice. So much easier than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lighter.
It's actually really, I can confirm that the scuba fabric is very easy to work with. Use them coupons.
Yes. Coupons are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them coming, please. But also, the other thing I'm kind of curious to see more work with, and I'm trying to think of how I would put this, because this year, I remember seeing people make the Doctor Strange effects and the fans using acrylic, laser-cut acrylic. And I really kind of want to see how people push the bounds of making effects. Now that we have all these different technologies coming out and we have things like laser cutters more available to us, whether it's at your local college and whatnot, but they looked really cool. And they were very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like you had to worry about Hollywood-grade effects. They were effective for, I think they were selling for $25 for two. It's very affordable. So I'm kind of wanting to see more of that.
See what more people could come up with, what unique and fun things they can do with it.
Yeah, especially when you have all these superheroes. They have to have superhero effects.
The glowy hand is not enough.
You have Iron Man, come on. You need more than just the glowing palms and the glowing eyes.
All the things have to glow.
I like glowy things. Thank you very much.
I know you do.
And we will probably see more of them at next year's World Cosplay Summit.
I'm fairly
certain people will be preparing for very shortly.
Right?
If they're not already.
Well, a number of countries already have their teams picked out for next year, so at least they're settled. the race commences and continues.
It's like a convention season that never ends.
It really is.
On that never ends.
When you think that they need to have anywhere between 4 to 5 unique outfits for all the activities that are going on, I mean, oh my goodness, it adds up real fast.
Yep, and they also have to go through the rigor of testing those costumes and bringing all the stuff it takes to repair them along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can go to your local hardware store once you're out there to find the parts that you use to make the costume.
Gotta have everything with you ready and raring to go.
Well, that's all I have.
Cool. I think we're like just over 30 minutes, so we're right in that nice time spot.
Woo! We're awesome. And so, of course, if you guys have any ideas on how you would like to see cosplay innovation in the future, or if you have some really cool stories on what you've done in one of your cosplays, please feel free to share them with us and the rest of the cosplay community on any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
In the corner! I don't have to make a weird screen wipe anymore. It's just there in the corner. It's great.
And of course, you can email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying, and we will see you guys next episode in 196. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.